Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Tuesday. Back in studio, thanks to everyone filling in while I was away. Drew Hill and Jeffrey and Justin, everyone who carried the show on their shoulders while I was off gallivanting. So, Jeffrey, I went to ESPN.com this morning, and guess what's up? What's up is a mock draft. And what's up is the Grizzlies making a pick at 16. And so you know what has happened over the course of the last week? Well, a lot has happened over the course of the last week. And I do somewhat lament. Like, it's just kind of crazy when you're off traveling. And then while the Grizzlies certainly stirred things up. And how about Zach Kleiman destroying everybody's Father's Day?
My dad and brother, we were able to play golf, and one of my dad's good buddies was there. We were having a perfectly nice time, and then I just hear my phone going,
like, literally, the guy has small children. Wouldn't you think anyone would have sensitivity to what he was doing to everyone's Father's Day? It would be Zach Kleiman. Couldn't it just, like, wait a day? Do it on a Monday? Instead, you had Drew Hill at Wrigley, right? You were on the second hole?
Second hole.
I guess the nice thing about not being a full-time sports columnist, because typically over the course of my whole life,
You would have had to drop whatever you were doing.
I just would have been in this little town of Ouray, Colorado, and I would have just said, hold on, Claire, I'm going to work for 3 hours, like, but I've got a coffee shop. And Chris Harrington, happily, I listened to the pod that Chris and Drew do over at the Daily Memphian, and I'd urge you to listen to that as well. He was just sort of hanging out in Minnesota. He had just dispatched his son off on a canoe trip in the Boundary Waters, but whatever. It was incredibly. In that way, it was an insensitive thing for Zach Kleiman to do.
Absolutely. Very selfish.
I thought selfish, yes. In fact.
Mm-hmm.
But the upside is he has given us not just a day yesterday, but he has given us a summer, man. I think the trade-off, put aside what we think of the deal one way or another, in terms of the inconvenience and really the selfishness of his act on Sunday – versus the gift that he has given everyone at 92.9. And let's be honest, really, Grizzly fans everywhere in terms of intrigue this summer. Listen, the last 3 weeks, all we have been talking about is the Grizzlies are pretty good and they have no way to get better. So if you're really interested in what they're going to do with the room exception and two picks in the second round, strap yourselves in, because last year we could at least break down the draft. We were talking about Stephon Castle and Reed Shepard, and instead here we got the room exception and 2 seconds for a team that is not very clearly not good enough. And instead, we now have an incredible gift of a summer. And so today, we not only have a mock draft, and I'll get to this in a minute, a mock draft with the Grizzlies making a pick at 16. We also have a Chris Harrington piece, trade targets and a mock draft. Our cup runneth over.
So I was thinking about it yesterday because I think we both agree we were surprised by the poll results and how overwhelming.
How did the poll results hold up over time? Did the poll results, because we both, all of us voted like the trade. I gather Chris voted, let's see how it turns out, which I also think is the right answer.
I think that's an appropriate thing to say, but I do think, so we finished with 460 votes, which for us is, that's a sizable sample.
Particularly for the summer.
Correct. 87.8% to 12.2%. And the more that I thought about it, it's not necessarily, like, it's no reflection on Dez. I don't even really think it was necessarily a reflection on, oh my God, look at all these picks. I think it was largely a reflection of the fan base wanting them to do something.
Right. I do think the haul was impressive. I don't think, even if they had traded Dez, in other words, if the deal had been those same players coming back, KCP and Cole Anthony coming back,
yep,
and one first, I don't think the do something would have carried the day.
No, I think
the fact that it's
I also
four,
don't think they would have done that.
No, I don't either. But in other words, I do agree.
I
think the contours of the deal. Anyway, it was a wild time to be away, and then honestly, and I, you know, we got Fishman on today. There's been so much happening in the world, and we're not. I talked to Charles about the segment we're going to do. We do talk about things other than sports, but we don't always talk about the biggest thing other than sports. We just talk about things that we think are interesting and may actually be overlooked. But I did want to at least acknowledge that I am aware, even as we do this sports talk show, that there is a full-on war going on in the Middle East between Israel and Iran. And there was a horrific assassination over the weekend in the Twin Cities. And all of that, of course, is real world stuff, and it's terrifying, and it's and it has commanded a lot of my attention in trying to understand both of those things that have happened. But we're not gonna be talking about that much, certainly in this segment. And even when Fishman joins us in the second segment, I don't think it's those things are on his list, even as he acknowledges the how important and devastating and they are as things that are happening in our world today. We do have Chris straight up at 10 o'clock. We'll talk to him about his trade targets list. And we have Fishman, Fish on Friday on Tuesday. We will do that after that. I am back. The traveling these days, that's the segment. And we'll talk about, listen, the NBA Finals. We had another game last night. I watched a lot of it in an airport. And so we'll talk about that. You got Shohei returning to the mound. You had an all-time pitching performance from Gage Wood of Arkansas. Just unbelievable. And so we have plenty of sports. We can wind up the Stanley Cup Finals tonight.
Fingers crossed.
And more. So we will get to all of that. Traveling is a pain in the ass these days, I have to say. I mean, I couldn't have driven from Colorado to Memphis in as long as it took me to fly, but it wasn't that far off.
But it was close.
It wasn't that far off. And the scenes in Dallas, the Dallas airport, where another, I don't know how many flights were canceled yesterday. Don't you think now that when you, particularly if you're connecting, you don't assume it will go well. You just sort of give yourself over to the airline gods and you say, I'll get there sometime. I assume my luggage might get there sometime. I assume, but we'll just see. If things happen to go according to plan and I make my connection and it's all smooth, I consider myself incredibly lucky, because it feels like now That's often not how it plays out. It's a pain in the ass. And there were a lot of people sprinting through that Dallas airport yesterday and a lot of flights canceled. It just can be a nightmare.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I think what it's also done is what's the time limit? I know when you drive to Buffalo. But
yeah, okay, putting aside, like because I drive to Michigan and I used to drive to Buffalo, and both of those are 840,
right.
860, whatever miles. And most people would say that is beyond the realm of which that's a drive where you fly, and I get that. But there are other reasons I do it. Dogs, bringing schlepping stuff up there, whatever else. So, but just generally, where is the cutoff between how far you are willing to drive instead of fly, and just in terms of convenience, in terms of, you know, the certainty that you're going to get there, whatever else. I will offer you, Jeffrey, a 6-hour drive or a direct flight.
So
which are you taking?
Basically, we're saying, would you drive to Atlanta?
Is that six?
Yeah. It's probably a shade under.
And but it's direct. You don't have to connect.
Correct. That's the key for me.
The key is direct. I think you might fly if it's direct, but if you had to connect through somewhere to get to Atlanta,
correct,
and it was a 6-hour thing, you would drive.
Correct. I think I would still wind up driving there.
Because you would drive. Because you got your car, too.
You don't have to rent a car. The convenience of having your car.
I think that's right.
You don't have to worry about, am I packed appropriately? You just throw,
stuff in the car. Yeah. I think that's right. I think you're up to now a 6-hour drive, and I put myself over here because I'm a exception in terms of I'm much more willing to drive. I think up to six, you should drive even if it's a direct flight.
Yeah, I mean, to me, this all just comes back to God, I miss Northwest.
Right. Unless, by the way, like if you're ducking over to Atlanta, you're a business person, you're going for a meeting and flying back that same day or something, then it makes no sense.
But I'm not doing that. I mean, to me, it's basically like I'm going somewhere, usually for a decent amount of time.
Right. The Northwest thing is clearly right, but it's been so long now. Does anyone even really remember? Like, when I moved here, people used to talk about this restaurant called Justine's.
Sure.
Justine's. And it was before my time.
Yep.
I take your word for the fact that Justine's was great, but it feels like, or honestly, Mid-South Coliseum.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I take your word for the truth that the Mid-South Coliseum was great, and there's no better time in Memphis basketball and whatever else. But it feels like that with Northwest. It was great when we could fly direct anywhere, and sure, the prices were pretty high, but we could fly direct anywhere. It seems so long ago, it's hardly even relevant anymore. By the way, Memphis Airport, when I finally got there and landed at 1 a.m. last night, it's a nice airport.
The
baggage claim wasn't even like forever. Now, maybe it was because it was 1 a.m. We were probably the only plane. I got to baggage claim, they were already spitting them out, which never happens to me. Maybe it's fast now.
I don't know. I always felt like our baggage claim got a bad rap.
Really?
Like, yeah, because
I hated it. Well, I'd wait there for hours.
I used to fly in and out of LAX.
And that was bad?
Oh, my God.
No, flying's a pain in the neck.
Like, I would tell people, like, if my flight got in, I would tell people to not pick me up for 90 minutes.
God, that's insane.
And then it got to be where I was so bad, there would be some people that would still be waiting. Like, I just started parking my car at, like, long term. I mean, I get what you're saying, but also, I don't think there's enough people that hold a grudge against Delta. A real strain in my marriage is my wife thinks that Delta's the Mercedes-Benz of airlines.
You fly United.
I try to fly anyone but Delta. Mm-hmm. I am a grudge guy at my core, but she loves it.
We are going to we'll talk about the finals and we'll talk about all the other stuff.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, ESW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
I am not going to let an opportunity like this Desmond Bain trade go by without spending as much time as I possibly can on it.
Well, I think we also need to talk about one more thing about
the
selfishness of Zach Kleiman. Is anybody prepared for this draft?
Well, that's
true. I gave up.
It's like having a pop quiz when you didn't prepare.
I didn't
you
read.
Thought there was going to be. I didn't do the reading.
I'll catch up.
Absolutely right. But yes, we are going to spend a lot of time on it. And on and what comes next. But I'm going to start by just going there. And mock draft, 2025 mock draft over at ESPN. And there are the Grizzlies with, by the way, three picks now.
Right.
Grizzlies now, they still have 2 second-round picks. So I will, first I'll tell you who they're picking. And then I will ask you what to think about the pick. And then we'll get to the bigger question, which is, will it be a failure if they make the pick? Will you consider draft? Don't answer it yet.
Yeah.
Will you consider draft night a failure if they make the pick?
So you're saying if they pick at 16,
if they literally pick at 16,
okay.
is it going to be a failure? So you got the usual suspects, of course, at the top, the guys that you know are not going to be there. You got Cooper Flagg and you got Dylan Harper to the Spurs and Vijay Ejikom to the 76ers. And onward, onward we go. And in fact, you get to some guys who, you get to some players who people think, oh, wouldn't it be great if they became Grizzlies? And the main one there that I see is Carter Bryant. Carter Bryant is, he actually came off the bench for Arizona, but, he's highly well thought of as a fabulous defensive player. He can shoot. He's a basic 3-and-D guy from Arizona. And I don't think most people, it doesn't appear from most mocks that most people think he's going to be there. Derek Queen is another one who I've seen people suggest, oh, wouldn't it be great if he fell to the Grizzlies? Obviously hit the massive shot in the NCAA tournament for Maryland. I don't see that. I don't see him making it to 16 either, do you?
So Drew and I talked about this on Friday. If you are really worried about front court depth, we're not asking for the Grizzlies to like come up with a new center that changes the ceiling. We need somebody just to eat minutes. I'd rather use the second round picks for that.
Well, I do wonder if, depending on if they were to make the pick, if center is even like, could you back up Zach Edey with another first round center, or is that a total waste? Right, because the truth of the matter is, at 16, if they happen to make the pick, there are many more centers in this draft who like you can get the who there are more bigs who seem to be in the range at that position than 3-and-D guys. Okay, so there we go. And
it's a lot like being in the NFL draft and needing a guard.
I was stunned by the Grizzlies pick, I'll be honest. So Colin Murray Boyles, who's from South Carolina, another really good defensive player. But not a great shooter, not great size for the position.
Sounds like he'll fit right in.
But whatever. He goes at 15. And then the Grizzlies take from Michigan State, Jace Richardson.
Okay, so my one concern with Jace is I do think he's a little undersized. Now, if you want to take the spin zone, Jace is very long. And he's a pretty good defender. He is the type of guy that, despite undersize, he can guard up. as Chris likes to say.
He's literally 6 feet tall. Isn't he? I mean, I'll read you what they said. And again, this is just because we now have a whole, and we're going to talk about all the stuff. We have a whole bunch of stuff we can talk about because of this.
But you have a brand.
But now, I do love a draft. The Magic Grizzlies pulled off a blockbuster trade. This is from Jonathan Givony. Sunday with Desmond Bane heading to Orlando in return for a package including this draft's number 16 pick. The Grizzlies are exactly the type of team that could be interested in an ultra-efficient, productive young prospect such as Richardson, who rates highly in draft models that analytics-savvy teams like Memphis often pay attention to. Richardson possesses an excellent feel for the game, hit 41% of his three-pointers this season, brings strong defensive intensity, and looks adept at playing off the star power of a teammate like Ja Morant, whose future in Memphis is to be determined. As Richardson's shot creation, diversity, and offensive aggressiveness evolve, he could be someone who eventually inherits more significant ball-handling responsibilities if the Grizzlies decide to pivot toward a youth movement. I was shocked because, listen, I actually don't think you should pay an enormous amount of attention to positional needs in the NBA draft. There are so few players that hit once you get to a certain range that if you gave me a center that hit or a backup point guard that hit over a three that doesn't, I'll take the ones that hit over the ones that don't. Right.
Yeah, I think it's more than fair.
Having said that, why the hell do they need a small backup point guard when they already have a small starting point guard? They want to get bigger in the backcourt. They've got a small backup point guard who's not a pure point guard in Scottie Pippen Jr., who, by the way, is a better defensive player than his size. Why in God's name would they draft Chase Richardson unless they really were imagining that someday they would pivot off of Ja Morant? Why in the hell would they take Chase Richardson? Literally, the last thing I would think they need is a small backup point guard.
It's one of those picks that I don't love it, but I do think I'd be able to talk myself into it.
I would 100% talk myself into it.
Because what, you know, I have no problem with Izzo guys. Like, in the end, those guys are tough.
If he's really good, if you get a pick at 16 and he's really good.
Well, like, in the end, our problem with Marcus Smart really wasn't his size. Our problem was he didn't play.
All right. We'll get to the, and then they made two picks. By the way, their next pick in this mock draft, also a point guard, and then they picked the center. But I ask you the other question, the bigger question, which is, if they pick at 16, do you consider this a failure?
So I'm going to say, no, I don't consider it a failure, simply because you don't really control whether or not you do pick at 16. Like, you need a dance partner. And I think the real question for me is, would you rather them move up or move back? Like, I do agree with Chris when Chris said yesterday he believes that they are more likely than not to not make the selection at 16.
Right.
But he also didn't say, like, they're not going to pick at 16. I think there's too many conditions that...
Yeah, I'm very clear. I will not. There are those. I suspect there are even those at this radio station who will say, pass fail, it is a failure if you pick at 16. That this is not what this team needs and whatever else. And it is not, to me, the preferred solution. No. The preferred solution is, let's be honest. And let's take a step back.
The preferred solution would have had Dorian Finney-Smith on the team.
Well, the preferred solution would be to trade the pick so you have better. Because let's take a step back. What we know, again, 88%
yeah,
of you
is 88-12 based
on approved of the trade, which I think is quite striking. If you take into account how unbelievably popular Desmond Bane is, right? Desmond Bane is, in this time of tumult in the franchise, at a time when the franchise can, in some ways, and the players can seem distant, he was the opposite. He wasn't, like, you'd have the flighty Ja Morant and then you'd have the rock that is Desmond Bane. You know, you had players who often can seem much less connected to the community than the Grizzlies of old did. I think that's simply true. Maybe it's perception, maybe it's reality.
I think it's an organization.
Literally, I was at the that's fine. But it's whatever. Desmond Bane was not that.
Totally agree.
Like whatever you thought and he's all incredibly likable, and he's just he did have some injury issues, but he's just. Like he is physically, solid as a rock. And is he the most popular of the Grizzlies? No. I think Ja is still the most popular Grizzly, right?
Yeah.
But he's sort of the Antonio Anderson, to analogize with to that team, who's just the rock that you depend on. And now...
He was the closest to Conley.
That's true. Maybe that's a better. He's yeah.
So they don't play the same position. They obviously right. have sort different
like
games.
Sort of like Mike Conley, just an incredibly popular guy who they traded away. I was listening to Chris yesterday on this podcast that he did with Drew, and he said the best player the Grizzlies have traded away at the height of his career, like Mike Conley, and they traded Mark and whatever else. That was a different circumstance.
Right.
Since Powell. You know, Rudy Gay was pretty good when they traded him away. But neither Powell nor Rudy, when they were traded away, were universally loved. Like, they were both, I think, unfairly, in Powell's case, certainly pilloried, right? Like, he was being, when he was traded, it was an unpopular trade because of the return.
Right.
But when Powell was traded, he was the subject of savage criticism in Memphis.
Absolutely.
And Rudy was somewhat polarizing. I don't think there's anything polarizing about Dez. Dez is a wildly popular guy with basically every segment of the fan base. Like, who doesn't? Like, you can find people who will rip on Jaren because he doesn't rebound enough, right?
Yeah.
Who rips on Dez for anything?
No. I mean, to me, the hardest part of letting him go is I think this team has a real problem of guys that care. He is not one of those.
Guys that care most about the team.
Yes.
Right. So, so given that, I think it's kind of remarkable that 88% of you, even though that's not the way I voted and it's the way Jeffrey voted, said that
and we should
you
be
like
fair. It
deal.
Was a binary. You either liked it or you didn't. It was binary,
right? And I think for me, had I been given choice C, which is let's see how it goes.
Yeah.
It depends on what happens next. I don't mean let's see how it goes, like any trade. I'll see how it works out and tell you who won. That's not what I mean. I mean, in this trade in
what did they do next?
It literally, what they got isn't the point. What they got will enable them to get something
else.
They
got an opportunity.
And that is the point.
What do they do with the opportunity?
And so, I, like, as Anthony Sane texted me, and he said, best trade in Grizzlies history. And then he amended. He said, no, Zebo. And then I came back and I said, well, you know, the Powell trade in the end, he gives them no credit for lucking into Marc Gasol. I do. Like, I'm not saying they knew he was going to be that good. They obviously didn't, or they wouldn't have drafted Hashim Thabeet after they had Marc Gasol, right? But I give them credit for how that trade worked out. I don't think they won that trade. The Lakers got, you know,
titles.
So, but how about this one? They traded Drew Gooden for Mike Miller. Like that trade, worked. Like that is a hell of a trade. They traded Sharif Abdul-Rahim for the draft pick that became Pau Gasol. I know that one was
that's a hit.
That is a great trade.
Yes.
The Drew Mike Miller Drew Gooden trade is a really good trade. Now it was because they drafted the wrong guy in Drew Gooden, but they quickly realized it, moved off.
But I think
great trade.
I'm fine with that.
Totally.
One of my big deals is I don't expect you to bat 1,000.
No.
But I don't want you to sit there and justify what you did. Sometimes you got to. What I think Presti's elite at is when he makes a mistake, he moves on.
So is this. It looks like a great haul, but how this works out is totally dependent on what they do with this. In a small way, let me ask you this. Is the Steven Adams trade. The Jonas trade.
Yep.
The fact that Zaire turned into a bust, because, like, does that get factored into the trade? Or is the trade the trade? In other words, what they got for Jonas was Steven Adams and a pick. They got the same thing. They got they got a tool to get better. And then they used that tool on Zaire. So, like, would that have trade looked different if they had drafted Trey Murphy? Like, if which they could have done with, yep. in that draft. Honestly, they could have stayed put and have drafted him. But if they had done that, we would look at that trade and say, my God, that trade enabled them to get Steven Adams and get a player who became a part of the fulcrum. In other words, is this a good trade, no matter, like, because they got the, it's just like the decision to fire a coach. Is it dependent on whether the next coach is good or not? Or is it the decision to fire a coach should be judged at the moment? We fired the coach because he deserved to be fired. And it doesn't depend on what happens next. Is it fair to wait and judge this trade based on, I don't mean 5 years down the road. I just mean in the next year what they're able to turn this into.
So let's take the Steven Adams trade. My argument would be that was still a good trade for this very reason. They were better the next year than they were the previous year.
Because it turned out that Steven Adams was a better fit than Jonas, I think it was a good trade anyway. But would the trade be all better if they had used that pick more wisely?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, because part of honestly what gets factored in is like how it ends with Steven Adams.
I think that's true too. And I think it's fair to say, and here's the problem is that, or the challenge is you now have these tools to get better, but like, and we'll go through with Chris, we'll go through his targets, but like, let's say you turn around, here's one of them, right? One of them is Derek White.
Okay.
Right? It's probably unlikely that they, but let's say they turn around and give most of this capital that they just got to get Derek White.
Yep.
Is he in some ways he's better, you know, won a title. He's smaller and older. And is that, did you make, like he's.
But he is a little bit longer.
He's smaller. He's longer arms. Yeah. Everybody has longer arms. He's smaller and he's older. He's a better defensive player. He's older. He's 31 as opposed to 26. Like, is that, if that's what you do, is that better? If you, like, there's all kinds of great ways you can fantasize about, well, let's say you turn around and use most of this to get Cam Johnson, right?
Yep. A popular name.
Popular name. You turn around now. They haven't, as Chris points out in his piece today, they haven't seen fit to give up massive, they haven't had as much ammunition now. But, like, so, it does depend on what right now we fantasize. Oh, they're going to use these picks and they're going to use them and they're going to get dramatically better. It's going to be hard. I'll just put it this way. It is going to be hard to turn these picks into a better player than Desmond Bane. It may not be hard to turn them into players that fit better or multiple players better,
right,
who make the team better. But I think it is going to be hard to turn these picks into a better player than Desmond Bane.
Yeah, I think it's fair to say, if you're asking me to rank, will they get one player better than Des, I would bet no. Again, I could be wrong, but it's a bet. I do think, though, this is the type of move that you're doing to hope that your team gets better.
Right.
Because I know I've been harping on it for a few months now, but like, I really do believe, to me, the lesson is the last couple of playoffs, you just cannot really have three high money guys.
So back to the question that we began with, will it be failure if they pick at 16? And I don't think it will be. And I don't expect them to pick at 16. I heard Chris bring up the possibility of moving up. I think that's unlikely, but not impossible. Like it
might be your best option.
It might be. I mean, Carter Bryant might be, for example, they might have a conviction about Carter Bryant, and that is the way they're going to and use another pick, whatever, and go up and get Carter Bryant. I could see that. John Hollinger, I think this would really frustrate people, but he raised the possibility that one way to get rid of John Conchar or Jay Huff and their contracts in order to be able to extend Jaren Jackson Jr. would be to trade down, to get to attach John Conchar to the pick to go to the end of the first round, and that way you're getting off John Conchar's money,
yep,
and you're also, all of these picks come with salary slots,
yep,
right? And again, we're trying to reduce the Grizzlies' We're trying to create more room for the Grizzlies so they can renegotiate Jaren Jackson Jr.'s contract. And so picking at 24 or 28 will cost them in terms of salary less than 16. 16 comes with a $4 million, I think it is, you know, salary obligation. And so you're like, ugh. So, but I think that would be a, that don't you think that would be a trade that would frustrate if literally you are using your, using that pick in order to create more money to sign Dez?
So I actually am in favor of that.
You're in favor of that.
Like, I actually think if
they do have to, they do have to find the money to sign Dez, but I want them to find it some other way.
So 16 would be 4.4 million. And then what was your,
whatever, 26.
26 drops down to 2.8.
So yeah, you save yourself some money that you're going to be using.
Now, you save more money over the length of the deal.
Right, but So that's another way they could do it. And I think the preferred way, I think what most Grizzlies fans would want is would want them to attach a first-round pick and Cole Anthony and go get P.J. Washington,
sure.
Right? Or, but
wing,
if they were to do that, by the way, PJ Washington is on an expiring deal.
Yep.
So would he extend? Like, that is some interesting questions there. If you do that, PJ Washington is not better than Dez.
No, but
then you have more stuff. You still have more stuff.
You also would have, at that point, you would have two expiring deals at attractive rates.
You've got and you have the other three. If it took one first round pick to get PJ Washington, you still have three other first round picks that you have. You still have KCP's deal you could trade. You still have a Brandon Clark's deal you could trade like that. But I'm just saying, if you do that and
get
PJ Washington, he's not a better player.
I agree with your point. I think what the idea is you're trying to make. I think rather than saying we're trying to get our third best player. Basically, instead of saying we're trying to get a cheaper option to be our third best player and equate, I don't think that's what they're trying to do. I think they're trying to build out 1 through 8 to be
better. You can make an argument that if you have, instead of Desmond Bain, let's say in this deal, you've got KCP, like, to not forget that, like, he may could have a bounce back season.
Yep.
Right? There you've got KCP and PJ Washington, right?
Yep.
Already. And then you can add more pieces after that. But if they make that pick, I won't think it's a failure because. And I know everyone's in a hurry for them to do everything today. There will still be plenty of opportunity for them to do other things to make the team better this year. I will not be screaming and pounding up and down and saying what a disaster that they've added a young player if they actually make. It's not my preferred path, but I don't think it's a disaster.
No, I'm with you. Like, because in the end, you don't really control it.
Yes, so like, you need someone to be.
I think their actual position right now is they don't want to pick at 16.
I think that's true. I'm sure they are out there saying, what will you give us for Cole Anthony in 16?
Correct. And so that's why I'm judging it based
on
the.
But you need some to say, we'll give you Herb Jones.
Correct.
Right? Or whatever.
Whatever. PJ, however you said it, whoever you want the player to be.
All right, we're going to take a break. Again, we got Chris at 10. We got Fishman after that. I will tell you, if you want something framed, the Frame Corner is the place to go. 5035 Park Avenue. This is a time when, we got graduations. We got people have played their last baseball game, high school baseball game ever. We have lots of weddings. So if you, in the end, want something preserved forever, hung on your wall as a keepsake, you want it custom framed. Yeah, you can always go to Walgreens or you can actually buy a frame from the Frame Corner. They have beautiful frames you can buy at the Frame Corner. But for custom framing, things you really care about, no better place in Memphis than the Frame Corner. They've been doing it for 50 years. 5035 Park Avenue, framecornermemphis.com. Back in a moment, Jeff Calkinshaw, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well.
So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This season, let your shoes do the talking. Designer Shoe Warehouse is packed with fresh styles that speak to your whole vibe without saying a word. From cool sneakers that look good with everything to easy sandals you'll want to wear on repeat, DSW has you covered. Find a shoe for every you from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, New Balance, and more. Head to your DSW store or visit DSW.com today.
It is the summer of 1,000 engagements over at Robert Irwin Jewelers. And that's kind of extraordinary because, I mean, listen, they got 40% off engagement rings, anniversary bands, wedding sets, all of that. Of course, you can walk in and design your own stunning engagement ring, and you got the meant-to-be guarantee, whereas you're not completely satisfied with your custom-made engagement ring. You've got 365 days to return it. But they also have the 1,000-carat diamond giveaway. They're giving away 1,000 carats of diamonds. Spend $999 or more, and you get free diamond jewelry. That's pretty great. Like $9.99 or more, and you get free diamond jewelry. So, for example, buy a 1.2 carat total double halo diamond engagement ring. That's $14.99, and you get a free diamond tennis bracelet. And there are more deals like that while supplies last. You buy diamonds, they give you free diamonds. It is the summer of 1,000 engagements. At Robert Irwin Jewelers. Visit any of their five locations or shop online at rijewelers.com. We got Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. Fish on Friday, on Tuesday. After that, we're continuing to talk about the summer that is now unfolding in front
of us. Much more exciting.
Dramatically, dramatically transformed summer. And I'll tell you this. Listen, purely from a selfish perspective, radio is going to be a lot more fascinating. One thing, though, Jeffrey, it is interesting from the team, from this team, the John Morant, Dez, Jaren team at its zenith,
yep.
Right? Let's say the team that beat Minnesota,
okay.
Right? Who were the favorite fan favorites on that team?
Ja, because you got to remember that's
Ja peak, is
that's,
it?
That's like, the peak. That's the peak of Ja.
Yeah, and Ja, for all the controversy. At his healthy, dynamic, like yesterday, what's weird is that they were both, the peanut gallery out there across the country was both telling you that the Grizzlies have to move on from Ja, and then they were telling you that he really is not that good. Like, you probably shouldn't have to give up much to get Ja. I did see, by the way, and this came up yesterday very quickly, there was early proclamations that the Grizzlies might be rebuilding or tearing it down or whatever else. And I think pretty quickly people have come to realize what we said yesterday, which is that is certainly not their intention. Right? Didn't that become like you had immediately Shams, they had a report later in the day.
I think before the finals.
Yeah, saying, oh, early, which is exactly what we said yesterday morning. The idea that they did this because they're completely gutting the team was fiction. Now, as I said yesterday, as Chris later said,
you know what they're debating right now as we speak on First Take?
Are they really?
Should the Grizzlies move on from Ja Morant?
Oh my God. I mean, it is crazy how predictable it is. Like,
oh, I know. Like you can
like it is 100% just clickbait stuff. And you know the discussion isn't, I hate to say it, and again, there's like really credible people who are much more connected, let's be honest, to the broader NBA than I am, certainly in my new role than I am. But the way it is framed there, you have to talk about it as, yes, they should move on from Ja. No, they should not move on from Ja. I saw Stephen A. at halftime was saying yesterday, I'm glad Tyrese Halliburton is hurt. Now, he didn't say, I'm glad he's hurt. But then the way that is subsequently framed in headlines is Stephen A. glad Tyrese yes. Halliburton is hurt. Well, that's not really what he was saying. What he was saying was, I'm glad he has an excuse for how badly he's playing, because at least the fact right. that he's hurt at least makes it understandable why he is such a non-factor last night. But even that, the way that it's framed is just crazy. Here's the truth. As far as I know it or would imagine it to be, what I would imagine it to be is the Grizzlies want to build around John Morant and Jaren Jackson Jr. Indeed, at the end of the season press conference, they said, reiterated, they're not trading Ja and they want to extend Jaren. Now, just like the analogy I made was the summer that they traded Shane Battier for Rudy Gay, the intention wasn't to go into it was to pivot and to have Powell and the very good players they had and to inject some youth and whatever with Rudy Gay. And then the whole thing fell apart and they ended up trading. Like, so that is, it could be how it goes, or it could even this summer. Like, if Jaren doesn't want to extend, or if things go south with Ja on talks about an extension, you can imagine it going the have to pivot away from these players. Like, if Jaren comes back to you and says, I'm not going to extend, I'm not going to renegotiate and extend, and not only that, I'm going to walk into free agency and my inclination is to go to another city. If he told you that, well, then you would be insane not to see what you could get for Jaren Jackson Jr., right?
Yeah, and I don't know if they can, quote-unquote, legally have this conversation.
Right,
I suspect if that were the case, they would not have moved Desmond Bane on Sunday.
So what they very clearly want to do is add more dynamic, more varied, more athletic pieces around these two players. I mean, that is obviously the intent of what they plan to do. Now, whether they'll be successful, we've said this before. Like, I liked the trade yesterday. Zach Kleiman, if you're going to pick apart the record, the one thing that you have to say that they've struggled with is bringing in quality contributing players by trade, right? That is that is what he has struggled with. Now, he's done it. Like, Steven Adams was it. And to the point that I asked you about, who were on that team, who were the fan favorites? Ja is always been like the biggest guy on the team.
Well, we hadn't gone through the weird tough guy, which translated then into the gun. Like,
yeah,
that
yeah.
was the that
he
was
hadn't
the
gone through any of that. It was
just nothing but fun with
Ja. But don't you think that two cult heroes of that team, two really God, I love them. I love that guy. Were Steven Adams and Desmond Bane?
Yes, and then the fourth I would throw in there was Brandon Clark was very popular.
And Brandon Clark.
And Brandon Clark
is diminished.
Yep.
Ja, his whole thing is diminished. And then two of the most solid guys, the people who you saw as literally, physically, and on the court, utterly unfazed, were Steven Adams and Desmond Bane.
Yep.
You need guys on this team who people connect with and like, you know?
I mean, I would argue, and I don't even think this is graduation goggles. I think this is all true. I think Kyle was very popular.
Uh-huh.
I think Melton was very popular.
Yeah. I mean, they have a lot of ammunition, unquestionably. And it all, of course, as we're saying again, it is how they are going to use that ammunition that matters. So the Chris, and we'll talk to Chris about it when he joins us here in a minute. He's broken the possible deals down into various categories. First category is the dreams, the superstars.
Yep.
Let's be honest, they're not going to happen.
Okay,
right.
But let's humor him.
And that is KD. That is Giannis. And those are the ones at the top of that list, right? Maybe Jaylen Brown would be another one, right? Like, whatever. And the truth of the matter is, there's no indication that any of that's going to happen.
Yeah.
In fact, KD has come up with his list of where he wants to go. Now, who knows whether they will adhere completely to it. But
I will say this.
I'd be lying if I said when they got the Suns pick.
Oh no,
it was not like the oh, I think they're going to get KD. It was I know that they have called about KD and
the Suns might want their pick back.
Dangling the pick in front of them.
But do you listen, we saw that Jimmy Butler, you know, he had his preferred destinations, and Golden State wasn't number one on the list, and then they had to pivot to Golden State and whatever else. But still, Durant has said San Antonio, Houston, and Miami.
And he's reportedly said no to Minneapolis.
And he said no. And if he said no to Minneapolis, like, that's one that actually has, which you would think would have more appeal than Memphis, because
they've been to the Western Conference Finals twice.
And he's good friends with Ant, and like, there's, yes. And so, and he said supposedly no to Minneapolis. So I think you can eliminate those as possibilities. I just, whatever. Then there's a bunch of deals that are, of the type that we I think pretty reasonably likely, which is Cole Anthony and a one.
Okay.
For someone, right? And that's PJ Washington, Daniel Gafford, Herb Jones, maybe Keegan Murray, maybe Denny Avdija, maybe Nickeil Alexander-Walker in a sign and trade. One of the problems with that is there's no indication. We have not heard, just take Herb Jones, for example. We've not heard that it might make sense that New Orleans should trade him, but there's no end. Like, we don't know that any of those guys are actually on the market.
Correct. And we also don't know, like, I'm not up to date. I know Alexander Walker's obviously going to want a new deal. Like, I don't know the financial implications of all of this.
I mean, I would love Avdija, but there's literally no indication that Portland is trading him.
No, if anything, actually, Portland kind of, like, at the end of the year, remember, they were kind of like, man, this team's kind of fun. Like,
yeah,
let's see.
Great. That's great, but those I think are most likely. There's Cam Johnson.
Yep.
is presumably still out there. And then there's a bunch of guys, like Chris had a whole bunch of let's dream sort of players. Brandon Miller,
yep,
was one who he brought up. Oscar Thompson was another he brought up. But again, there's no indication that those teams want to trade those players. Now, you have a whole bunch of stuff you can offer someone.
Yep.
Does
that change their mind? I don't know. But I'm with you. There's no indication right now that those teams want to move on.
One of the interesting questions is, there's some question as to whether the Knicks, having given up five firsts for Mikal Bridges,
do they want to get some picks back?
He needs a new deal after this year. Do they move on from Mikal Bridges? Would you give?
Yes.
All four of your picks?
Yes.
What's interesting is that it is funny. Like, he is not better than Desmond Bain.
No, but he is a different type of player than Desmond Bain, and they need it.
He is a different type of player than Desmond Bain, and they need it. But right then, he would have as big a contract. You don't want three big contracts. He would have as big a contract as Desmond Bain. 100%. You don't keep him. You don't get to keep him without having as big a player. And right now, if you look at the Ringer rankings, Desmond Bain's a better player. He's certainly a better shooter for a team that needs shooting.
Yeah,
he's
need
a better
shooting.
Player and a better shooter. And so you're giving up everything you got for Desmond Bane to get Mikal Bridges on just as big a deal?
All right, I want to see.
You don't want three big deals.
No, I know, but I wanted to see exactly.
We will.
He's at 20.
Yeah, he has one more year left. He's going to be
extended. He's at 24, though. That's
he's not going to be at 24. He needs a new deal.
Well, can you get a deal?
No, you can't get a deal for less than 40. You'd be paying him what you're going to be paying Desmond, what you would have paying Desmond Bain. Exact same with a player who's a better defensive player. Yes, he's a better defensive player. So anyway, it's fascinating to see. Again, we have a great summer in front of us. In terms of last night's game, Jeffrey, it did get to be, and again, I was in the Dallas airport watching on a bar TV. It got to be 95-93.
Yeah, and you thought,
here come the Pacers. And that was that. They immediately went on a 5-0 run. After that, Jalen Williams and SGA just took over, and obviously they were terrific all night. 40 for Jalen Williams, 31 for SGA, 10 assists after 0 assists the other night. And so you had that. You had Wiggins and Cason Wallace were really good off the bench. You had Halliburton 0 for 6, obviously hampered by injury, 4 points total. 22 turnovers. Like, this was a Thunder game. You know, this was a Thunder game.
And not only 32 points.
Yeah, and, or 32 points. And out of the games in Oklahoma City, they have led for 141 of the 144 minutes in Oklahoma City.
Yeah, and I think most of that lead is from the Denver game, because the Pacers never led till point three.
Right, exactly. Do we think this is going to go like the Denver series, where it's going to go back to game seven?
The one hesitation I have is, if Halliburton looks like he did last night, they're just, because, like, that's the thing. I understand the argument of, hey, McConnell could at least, like,
he was terrific.
He
obviously
could move, but, like, McConnell's had his struggles.
Right. I know there was, you should have gone back to him, whatever. I have no problem dancing with the one who brung it, even if the one who brung it has one line. We got to take
you
a break. We got Harrington coming up next. We've got a big second hour, because then we got Fish on Friday on Tuesday. It is the Jeff Gawkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.